Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's nothing better than saying, I really don't feel like going and not being guilt tripped about it. I just don't want to. And it's respected. The only people that benefit from your lack of boundaries are the people that are happy that they were not there in the first place.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina.
Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. Happy Wednesday. As you guys can see, we are here in a little bit of a new setup. I have a couple things going on in the works right now that things might also look different in the next two episodes or so. I'm not even sure, but I just set up this little station here and I'm kind of feeling it. Like, what do we think? And hopefully I can sync up this audio with the actual video, but I'm very cozy right now and I want you guys to know that I am feeling a lot better from the last episode. Update, I was sick for literally a week and the last video that you guys saw of mine, I was feeling horrible by the end of the night. So I was supposed to film two episodes that day, which would have really benefited me because I forgot that I had a bridal shower to go to this week, aka yesterday, from me currently filming this. And because I forgot about that, I realized it would have really benefited me if I would have just filmed it and forced myself last week. But nonetheless, because it would have covered me for this week, but it's totally fine. Now we get to have this little cute setup. And I really hope that I'm not going to be coughing because the last thing about this little, I guess, cold or whatever that I had is a lingering cough. So that's where we're at. So as you guys can see, oh, new hairstyle change. We got the giant hoop earrings going on. Are we loving it? Like, I got so many compliments. I posted on Instagram today. And then my giant hoodie says Harvard on it because I want to get an honorary doctorate degree from an Ivy League school. You heard it here first. So I'm loving the look. I'm feeling very collegiate. I have a little mini skirt on. Should I stand up and show you? Yeah. I think we should kind of do that. Hold on 1 second. I can't speak at the same time while I have this on, but let me do a little looky looky for you. Okay. That's as good as it's going to get because I can't be too far from the mic. Anyways, as you guys can see from today's episode, we are going to be talking about confidence. Now, I did tell you guys before that we're going to be discussing confidence on today, and I really am super excited to talk about this topic because there's so much to dive into. Now, I know that I have a video on this on my YouTube channel. I don't even know when it actually was, so I don't even know if I could find the link. Maybe I could just Google it and find it for you guys, but I feel like there's always so much more to discuss in regards to this topic. So I want to really define what confidence actually means. What does it mean also in the context of dating and relationships and as well as personal development and why it's essential and how it impacts us in various areas of life. So we are going to explore how to build confidence and the different strategies on how to build confidence and also setting some realistic goals for ourselves and celebrating our achievements and overcoming self-doubt because girl, okay, girl, that's all I have to say. Now, let's get right on into it. As you guys know, got my laptop here because I'm an Apple girl. Yeah. And we are going to be talking about this confidence thing. Confidence, what is it? It's the belief in one's abilities and qualities and judgment. So in the context of dating and relationships, what does this look like? Being confident in dating and relationships, it can really make a significant difference in how you present yourself as an individual and also how you interact with others. So when somebody is very self-assured, they tend to attract partners and friends who appreciate that positive energy and that assurance. Because you ever heard of that saying where people say that people love listening to confident people because everybody likes to listen to people or watch people that they feel like know what they're talking about. And that just goes without saying. So you're more likely to believe someone, of course, right? If they're going to present themselves to you as confident. So in the realm of personal development, what confidence could look like is more of a foundational aspect. So it allows individuals to take risks and pursue opportunities and grow in various aspects of life. And it empowers people to step out of their comfort zone and to embrace new challenges, which leads to personal growth and professional growth as well. So it's not about being perfect, right? I want to put that out there right now. It's not about being perfect. It's not about having all of the answers. It's about accepting yourself and embracing some of your imperfections and also having the courage to learn and grow. What do we call this? A growth mindset. You have to have one. You have to have a growth mindset. And self-care really plays a crucial role in nurturing and maintaining confidence in general. So when individuals prioritize their physical, their emotional, their mental well-being, you're going to be better equipped to face life's challenges with resilience and also positivity. So number one, when we talk about building confidence, it is an ongoing journey. I always say to myself, like, I am a student of life. I have not arrived. I will never arrive. There's levels to this, okay? And it is an ongoing journey. You're a student of life. So there are several strategies that can help you build your confidence levels. And that could look like, of course, positive self-talk, right? So it's important to pay attention to how you speak to yourself and replace those negative thoughts with positive ones. And how you talk to yourself, of course, matters, because that can greatly and significantly impact your confidence. Listen, I was on the phone. I still am on the phone with like my big sister, Michelle. And I was like, Michelle, do I talk like too negatively to myself? Like, what's going on? Because honestly, guys, I was not having the best day today for various reasons. I honestly wasn't. And I can be so self-critical sometimes. And she was saying, like, Aisha, no, like, we all are. And I was like, but no, am I like way too much with it? Like, and I realized, like, more rationally when I'm thinking, like, we all have moments where we're not going to be as confident or secure in certain things, but how you speak to yourself fundamentally really does carry or dictate your day and your week and your life. And having that growth mindset, which I do, enables me to overcome these types of things because of the fact that I understand that it is not a bad life, Aisha. It is just a bad day. Maybe it's a bad moment. Maybe it's a bad hour, but it's not a bad life. We can't catastrophize every single thing. Next, you want to make sure that you are setting achievable goals, okay? You cannot go from, I want to work out, I'm going to go from working out 0 times a week to working out every single day. You want to get as granular as possible when it comes to trying to achieve these goals, because if not, you're going to get so overwhelmed and feel so defeated. You ever have so much to do that you actually just decide you're going to do nothing? It can't just be me. And that is so important. And I always think to myself, it is the small, tiny changes that overall make the big steps. Because even when it comes to the undoing of all the positive things that we have incorporated into our lives, okay, like for instance, in my case, like not waking up as early as I once was a couple months ago. Talk about that. It starts with one day, you just not doing it. And in the grand scheme of things, if you've been doing something super consistently, it's like, oh, it's not really that big of a deal. But then you don't do it another day. And in the grand scheme of things, 2 days out of, let's say, consistency for 2 months doesn't really seem that big. But it's the undoing, little by little by little. Next thing you know, you have now undone all of the positive things that you've built up longer than you have been consistent with them. Do you see what it is that I'm saying? So that's why when you set goals, you want to make sure that they are actually achievable and you want to celebrate these small victories. I know I can't be the only one. If you're watching me, my hand's raised. I know I can't be the only one that's like, sometimes we get overly zealous with things. And sometimes we tend to find it difficult to celebrate our wins. And that's also another issue. We have to be able to be our own biggest cheerleader, because that contributes to that, you know, sense of accomplishment and that boost in confidence. Okay. Another way you can build your confidence is facing your fears, you know, and confronting your fears and stepping outside your comfort zone. Now, I didn't say go skydiving, because what? I'm not ready for that level yet. But taking the small steps toward your fears can really gradually expand your comfort zone, whatever that new comfort zone is. Your comfort zone is always simply just where you're at in that moment, but it doesn't mean that that's going to be your comfort zone forever. Why? Growth mindset. When you have a growth mindset, then there's no way that you're going to be, your comfort zone is going to be the same as it was, you know, a year or two from now, or even 2 years prior to what it is now. Do you understand? The name of the game is you want to build that resilience, all right? Even when it comes to, you know, your personal style, that's a form of self-expression, right? That can help to boost your confidence. We can, you know how we do as women, right? It's oof, we just broke up. I'm gonna switch the hair up. Ooh, I'm gonna start going to the gym. I'm gonna start working out. All these different things, they also contribute to your confidence. So next, we want to talk about embracing vulnerability. So I know that confidence and vulnerability might seem like contradicting concepts, but hear me out. Embracing vulnerability can actually enhance your confidence, because you're being authentic to yourself. And it is so important to be authentic when it comes to building connections, when it comes to being genuine and open about your feelings with others, and your experiences can create more meaningful relationships when you are building that. Also having that emotional intelligence. This also to me corresponds kind of under that umbrella of having a growth mindset. So having emotional intelligence and self-awareness can play a role in embracing vulnerability and understanding and accepting that one's emotions can lead to a deeper understanding of yourself and also others. Okay, so next is actually overcoming fear of judgment. So you want to understand yourself. So having the fear of judgment can really hold people back from being vulnerable. I think this is something that we all can relate to when it comes to having confidence. You need to, before you even, we even talk about overcoming fear of judgment, you need to be around people that you trust. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. And that's what I feel like some people do as it pertains to the same types of friendships, the same cycles. And, you know, we all know that person that it's like they spill their business to certain people. And it's like, okay, like, did you not think that this person was going to tell? Like, how shocking is this to you? Or you knew that this person was going to say something of this nature. So why would you open yourself up to this type of ridicule again and again and again? So before we get into overcoming that fear of judgment, you have to first know that you have people around you that you trust, that you are confident are not going to judge you. And it seems like that's pretty hard to come by these days, because having a good circle of friends is like so important. And as it pertains to romantic dynamics, having a partner that you can genuinely share everything with, and like you have that friendship aspect where you guys can actually connect and you can talk, is really something that should be cherished. So you have to release your need for external validation. Now, this comes with time. You know, this comes as you get older. You start to care less, at least you should start to care less about what other people are thinking of you, because you have your core circle, you're more self-actualized. So you don't really care what, you know, she's saying, he's saying, whatever the case is. You start to care less. And it's absolutely important to release that and focus on self-acceptance. Radical acceptance, even radical self-acceptance, is something that we really need to start implementing, because the less secure you are with yourself, it starts to show up in sneaky ways where you start to project those insecurities onto others. So whatever you're thinking in your head, you're going to call out and accuse other people of thinking. For example, now this is just all alleged, because I just found this out. Hale sent me something about Harry Jowsey and his ex-girlfriend, Georgia, I believe. And according to her, this is all alleged. I don't know for sure, obviously, but he accused her of cheating on him when in fact he was the overbearing one. He was the one that was actually doing all of the things that he accused her of doing. He was the one that was being unfaithful throughout the entire duration of their relationship. He was the one that was doing all of the cheating and being very deceitful. Can you imagine? I mean, if you think about it, it's not that foreign. And he was saying things to her like, oh yeah, I bet you're the one that's cheating. I know it for a fact. Why is that? Because you know that you're the one that's doing that. So I say all that to say, if you have all these insecurities, they're going to start to come out in the form of projections, you know, or you'll see someone and it's just like, I know, like, I know I look like this or whatever. And you're not even thinking that, or I feel like you're talking about me. And it's like, I'm not talking about you. I'm genuinely not talking about, I'm not even thinking about you. You guys know I always bring up that saying, we wouldn't be so concerned with what people thought about us if we knew how seldom they actually do. People are worried about themselves usually. Now, that's not to say that some people aren't really concerned about you, because I've definitely been on that side where people are very concerned with what Aisha Christine is doing. That's an illness though. I'm talking about for the vast majority of people in life, they're not concerned about what you're doing. They're really not. So check it. Now, when it comes to also embracing vulnerability, you want to learn how to build trust. Now, building trust comes from being vulnerable. And that, see, all these things are linked, right? So it comes from overcoming that fear of judgment. When you overcome that fear of judgment and you are being more vulnerable, then that leads to building that trust. These are all the connecting dots that help to build that confidence in all of your relationships, both platonic and romantic. So this really encourages other people to reciprocate the same behavior to you. If you're opening up, then more than likely people are going to want to open up to you as well. Because if you're sharing something that is meaningful and deep to you, something that you hold close and it's kind of personal, then other people are usually going to feel inclined to want to share the same thing as well. So this also fosters, you know, growth and resilience. So being vulnerable will allow for that personal growth to happen and also build that resilience. And, you know, sharing challenges and setbacks and different things like that, of course, they all lead to having valuable insights. And these are opportunities to grow. And also, if you're sharing something like that with a close friend, then more than likely you do value their opinion as well. And you get to hear their feedback as well, if you welcome it in your situation. So next, we're going to talk about self-care and confidence. So of course, this goes without saying. And I didn't even want to start out with this one because this one is just so, it's the one that we always talk about. Self-care. And if you're confident, do your masks and do that. Yeah, like we get it. But having these self-care practices and routines can really help you to feel more confident. Like I was telling you guys in the beginning of the podcast, it's so interesting how easy it is to start undoing all the progress that you made. One day, all of a sudden, you're just not washing your face before you go to sleep. You're going to sleep in your makeup. You're not showering before you go to sleep. You're not lotioning. You're not, you know, and sometimes I don't lotion if I'm taking a lazy shower. I just want to say that right here and right now. I'm not judging you. But sometimes you just start to not do all of the things that you once were doing before. And that's a problem, because in Atomic Habits, James Clear, he says, you miss a day, it's a mistake. You miss two, it's a new habit. Something to consider. So when you have these self-care practices and these routines, they can really help you to feel a lot more confident. Because what is self-care essentially? Self-care is the practice of taking intentional actions to nurture and prioritize one's physical, emotional, and mental well-being. And this plays a crucial role in building and maintaining confidence. Because you know why? If you're putting in all this work to help build your self-esteem, we're talking about everything here, right? We're not only talking about the physicality, you know, the physical things. We're talking about you're meditating, you're praying, you're reading your Bible, you are, you know, saying positive affirmations to yourself. You are reading more than, let's say, maybe you're watching TV. Maybe you've switched the types of shows that you watch. Maybe you started watching different content on YouTube. You switched up the algorithm. Whatever it is that you are doing, those are investments in yourself. No one can take that from you. So when you have taken the time out to do that, it's harder for people to just come in and ruin all of that work. Doesn't mean that it's impossible, but what it means is it is more difficult because you know that you've put in so much work into yourself. So you don't want anything to just come in and eradicate at that. So inner confidence, right? Having the self-care, this corresponds with self-care, having that inner confidence. You're going to have inner confidence when you are prioritizing your spiritual health, your mental health. Like at the end of the day, to me, honestly, the physical part is the last bit if we're going to go in sequential order because of the fact that it all starts from up here, right? It all starts from up here. And when you are very mindful of yourself, right? Mindfulness, meditation, praying, right? This can help you develop a deeper connection with yourself and with your emotions. Like we talked about before, that emotional intelligence. This also can help reduce anxiety, self-doubt, and contributes to your self-confidence, of course. Healthy boundaries. Now, all of this pertains to relationships, period, both platonic and romantic, as well as just your personal development for yourself, your relationship with yourself. So having boundaries, healthy boundaries. I read something a while back and it was saying, I just don't want to is a reason. And it kind of takes me back to like childhood where it's like you just didn't want to do something when you were younger, but you felt forced to do it. Enough of those experiences and experiences and you turn into an adult that's kind of a martyr, or you go the opposite side where you are the one that's forceful. You are the one that's controlling because you're taking that power back, but you're doing it in such a hypervigilant way. So it's not coming out in a balanced way like it should. Instead of just respecting your boundaries and saying, I really don't want to go. And that is enough, a good enough reason, but it's not always our fault, right? Sometimes we have parents, you know, we have guardians, whatever, that forced us to do things. You know, we're younger, we're under their care, whatever it is. And then that can affect us as we're older, where it's like you can't seem to differentiate what it is that you truly desire, what it is that you truly want to do. Healthy boundaries and really truly establishing them. Probably one of the most important takeaways from this entire episode is establishing those healthy boundaries, because whatever you let slide for yourself, you're going to, of course, let other people slide with it as well. And sometimes, yes, arguably it is easier to be more gentle sometimes with others than it is to ourselves. But in the sense of having boundaries, more than likely, it doesn't work that way. It is counterintuitive or counterproductive in the sense where if you're eroding at your own boundaries, 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10, you're going to allow other people to do the same. So learning when to say no when necessary and valuing your needs and limits can boost your self-respect and confidence, because you know why? When you're saying yes, you mean it. And when you're saying no, you mean it. That feels very self-actualized. You know, there's nothing better than, okay, can we just talk about this? There's nothing better than saying, I really don't feel like going and not being guilt tripped about it. Oh girl, are you sure you don't want to go? Or maybe your parents are forcing you to go. Like there's nothing better than being like, I just don't want to. And it's respected. Because now you don't have to have this like crippling anxiety of, okay, like, how am I going to tell this person I don't want to go? And how are they going to take it? How are they going to perceive it? No, you're able to stand on your answer. Because remember, the only people that benefit from your lack of boundaries are the people that are happy that they were not there in the first place. Those are the only people that benefit from that. Next, we're going to talk about having that self-compassion. Having self-compassion is really important as it pertains to self-confidence. I talked about this a little bit in my last podcast with narcissism, dealing with people that have NPD, because there's really a lot of significance in self-compassion in the face of rejection, because you have to learn to be kind to yourself so that you avoid this self-criticism. Let me tell you something. We are our own worst critics. It is true. I don't think this is something that we can just completely eradicate, but the world is already going to do a pretty good job at kind of beating you up, knocking you upside the head, don't add to it. And when you're staying true to yourself and not compromising on your values in order to change or whatever to avoid rejection, when you are authentic to yourself, it's going to attract the right type of people into your life, and it's going to foster more genuine connections. So you're not going to feel like riddled with anxiety if you don't want to do something. And when you say you don't want to do something, it's not, I don't understand why you can't just do this one thing. I don't understand why you just can't go. It's not that big of a deal. And instead, okay, how about next time? I know that's how I am also as a person. It's just like, if one of my friends can't do something, I'm never going to be like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, wow, okay, so I'm just going to go by myself, right? No, it's like, okay, whatever their reason is, my number one priority is I want whoever I'm hanging out with, no matter what the relationship is, to feel comfortable and to genuinely want to be there. Not begrudgingly, not out of force, not out of guilt, but because they actually truly are making the choice. Doesn't that feel better when you're able to make decisions from that standpoint and people are around you off of the same, you know, mindset as well? So next we're going to talk about body positivity. Now, before we think that body positivity means like show it all out, like let it all show, that is actually precisely what I'm not talking about. I have a little theory. Okay, here we go. Unpopular opinion. I think that people that tend to be overly show and tell with everything are actually the most insecure. If I put it all out there, well, you can't talk about it because I'm already showing it. We get it. Enough is enough. Save something for the imagination, will ya? Okay? That's just my personal opinion. Anyways, body positivity, it's defined as the acceptance and appreciation of one's body, regardless of the shape and size. What's healthy for you, what's healthy for me are going to be different things, what have you. I'm not here to get into that because I don't need that on my platform. But at the end of the day, everyone should be relatively healthy, okay? And body positivity doesn't necessarily mean that you have to overly sexualize yourself. You have to overly do anything because you're confident in, I know I look good. Like, do you remember back in the day? Like, I don't know if you guys are thinking this, but do you remember like back in the day, like in like middle school and stuff like that, when like skinny jeans first came out? I'm talking to the millennials. Because it seems like the Gen Zs don't care about that. Like, you have Gen Zs that dress like they're from another like era. And then you have the Gen Zs that are just like in sweats and like the very e-girl type of makeup and very loose fitted sweats. Anyways, I'm not talking about that. But back in my day, the millennials, skinny jeans came out when I was like in middle school, and it was all about the tight jean. And it's like, if you didn't feel that cute if you had on something a little loose, like you didn't feel as cute because you wanted to kind of show off your shape. Do you guys remember those days? Yeah. So having this confidence, having overall confidence, right, is going to really impact, you know, how you feel about yourself, how you're presenting yourself to the world. All right. And think about even today's beauty standards. Some of it can negatively impact your self-esteem because you have to feel like you have to, you know, I saw this, I don't know, it was like a little video and it was showing how celebrities' beauty routines are. And it was this girl where it was kind of like that Vogue type of setting where it looks like the camera is basically the mirror. And you know how every single celebrity I've ever seen, like the few that I've seen do it, they put on the most minimal product I've ever seen in my entire life. Like the most minimal. It's like, so yeah, we're just gonna like take some eye cream. Yeah, just like you only need like less than a dime size and just like pat that in. And then you wanna take some foundation and they take like one pump of foundation and they just like finger blot it across their entire face and they tend to look flawless. So she, in the video of that girl, I don't remember who it was, but she was showing the like celebrity beauty routines and she took like a bunch of like syringes and was just placing it on different parts of her face because that's what makes them look even better. Like Botox, fillers, all these different things so that they don't need as much makeup to contour and do all of these different things. Or even the littlest makeup that they do put on their faces, it's enhanced because they have that structure, the foundational structure already like on their face. So that's something to consider. So Sometimes, yes, beauty standards can negatively impact your self-esteem, but I don't know, maybe you can just like challenge the beauty standards by, you know, embracing your own beauty, your unique beauty. If you think about how the like beauty trends have changed, we're now in a time where you're either like me, full glam, or there are certain days, like what I uploaded on Instagram, I had no makeup on before I was filming this, where it's like very little. It's just like your mascara girl, just like mascara, just like a little lip balm, maybe lip gloss if you're feeling saucy, a little like blush. Or then there's another level of like the tinted moisturizer girls, You guys are picking up what I'm laying down. But there's, it seems like we've kind of gotten away from the heavy glam and we have gone into more natural type of looks. You notice that? History is always repeating itself. I feel like we're bringing back more 90s type of makeup and also 90s type of looks that are just more natural, like natural beauty in general. So, of course, this goes without saying, but self-love. Self-love and acceptance is also how you build confidence. Are you guys taking notes? So, the importance of self-love in building body confidence and is super important because when you focus on your strengths, you're going to appreciate yourself and dress for confidence for your own body, because comparison is forever the thief of joy. Half the people that are comparing themselves to others, I'm not saying that nothing is impossible, but sometimes we're just really off base sometimes, and you can't achieve that, whether that be because, well, that person, you know, had alterations in order to achieve the way that they look, or whether or not it's just a completely different body type altogether. Manage your expectations in that regard, because if you're going to constantly compare yourself to someone that maybe they have like an augmentation or something like that, how is that going to work? You're not going to randomly just wake up one day and have a bigger chest because that person that you really admire, maybe she has a breast augmentation or something like that. I don't know. You guys understand what I'm saying. So when you are dressing in a way that makes you feel confident, you know, I've always had this pet peeve, by the way, for people that are always wearing the wrong clothing and then they want to take a million pictures and it just like doesn't look good. And then they're thinking that it's the pictures and it's like, no, it's you, babe. That you should not be wearing that. Wear what's comfortable. I've always known this. Like, I've always worn things. Definitely, we all are, but I'm a Taurus. I am a creature of habit, okay? I've always worn things that I know look good. So yes, if I like that skirt, yes, I will absolutely be buying it in every color and I will be wearing it in every color. Yes, I'm giving capsule wardrobe because I know what looks good on my body. So I'm going to keep wearing that because it looks good. And also my style is not trendy. It's more classic and maybe like some trendy tones here and there, but it's mainly I like more classic type of style. That's how I would describe my style. So I don't have to worry about what's changing every 5 seconds. But the thing about what's trendy, it's usually like trendy on that body type as well. And it's not usually for everybody. That's the thing. So these are things that have to be considered, because how you dress really matters. You don't ever want to wear things. Like, sometimes people choose to, when they have certain events, they choose that time to wear something that they've never worn before. Maybe let's say you're a little self-conscious about, you know, your stomach or something. Then you get invited to like some sort of like party or something. That is not the day to start wearing a crop top. Now you're, I know, like, I just feel so like large, like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to hear it. I really genuinely do not want to hear it. People do not enjoy hearing it. You know what you're going to get. Oh my God, stop, you're so skinny. You're so tiny. Like, you're so little. Like, stop it, please. Like, no, like enough. Like, enough for the weird fishing for compliments, but like self-loathing at the same time. And like, I've had enough. I've genuinely had enough. And half of the times that's like people's natural response to it, but you're not, you know what I mean? Just why would you wear that? Why would you wear something that you are going to be complaining about all day long and you're going to be uncomfortable and you're going to have to adjust? Like, I've always had that pet peeve for wearing things that I'm constantly having to like adjust and all these different things. I don't enjoy that. I want to be able to sit down, eat, do whatever I'm doing and still look pretty decent by the end of the night. Okay. That's what I like to do. So make sure that you learn your body type, even colors, what's flattering for your body type. Colors do matter as well. Like, there's some nudes, like even my backdrop, my editor was telling me, he's like, Aisha, the backdrop is blending into your face because it's literally your complexion. I said, okay, noted. I will have to get a new backdrop now. But as you guys can see, we're on a white wall this week. So the contrast, it brings everything out instead of making everything look so mute. Do you understand? So this is why I love like just like shades. I like blacks, whites, marbles. Anyways, body language. Body language also adds to confidence, right? Because body language conveys confidence. If you're right now I'm slouching. I am very confident. You see my chest is open, arms are back, shoulders are back. I'm not like hunched over. Even if I was in everyone has their own default for body language where it could mean different things, the same type of thing. For instance, the point is that I'm sitting back because I'm relaxed. I'm very relaxed right now. As I'm speaking to you guys, I'm very comfortable. I'm very tired. It is currently 2:15 in the morning. But needless to say, we're getting it done. So body language conveys confidence. If you're going to walk with your head down, if you're going to be speaking with your head down as you're having a conversation with people, that's not conducive to you being a confident person. If you also people that speak very low, no one said shout it from the rooftops. No one said be the loudest person in the room because we all know confidence is quiet, but nobody said confidence is mute. Sometimes you have to speak a little bit louder because it can translate as though you are scared of your own voice almost, you know, like we can't hear you speak in a audible tone. That's all that we're asking. Okay. And I want to talk about this lastly, as we wrap up, facing rejection. Like you guys always know, I always say that especially as it pertains to dating and relationships, it can be very challenging because you often are going to feel like you have to question like, man, like, is there anything I could have done differently? Like, what could I have done to really change this person's mind? All these different things start to go through your head. And even though they can be challenging, like facing rejection and all these different things, when you handle them with resilience, it can really prevent that loss of confidence. So I want to just briefly dive into some coping mechanisms to deal with facing rejection, because this absolutely needs to be included in having that confidence, because you have to be self-actualized. And essentially all the things that I've listed, this is how you do them. So one, you want to acknowledge your feelings. You're hurt, babe. It's natural to feel hurt. It's natural to feel disappointed or upset after experiencing rejection. No one said, well, glad that happened. You know, in hindsight, 2020, we are always glad in hindsight. Yeah. We are usually, but allow yourself to acknowledge and process these emotions without judgment. Let yourself feel the feelings and then let it pass, okay? Give yourself time to grieve the loss of a potential relationship, even opportunity. I can definitely relate to that, where like grieving certain opportunities and feeling like, man, but then I always remind myself, what's for me will never miss me. If it was for me, it would be already in my life. That person would also still be in your life. Same thing. Again, we talk about practicing that self-compassion again, right? Being kind to yourself during this time. Avoiding self-criticism and negative talk. Reminding yourself that rejection is a normal part of life and it does not define your worth or your value as a person. Reflecting and learning and taking the opportunity to reflect on the situation and the reasons for the rejection. And let me tell you this, you may not always have a reason. There may not always be a reason. And you have to be okay with that too. Because at the end of the day, it's a lesson or a blessing. Focus on what you can control. And you have to recognize everything is not always in your control. It's not. You control how you respond. You control how you respond to rejection and how you choose to move forward. So when you're redirecting your energy toward having positive actions, it allows you to maintain perspective and remind yourself that a rejection or a setback does not dictate your entire life. It's back to what I said in the beginning of the podcast, where it's like a bad moment, maybe even a week, is not a bad life. And it does not dictate your entire life or your relationship journey. Oh my gosh, I was broken up with twice, three times. I guess everybody's gonna do this, right? We catastrophize. It's just one experience. And there are so many other opportunities ahead. All right. It's important to maybe reach out to your friends, have a talk with them, let them know what has happened, because you need a support system to be able to talk about your feelings. All of this corresponds with each other. This reminds me of the point where I was talking about having friends that you trust that are not going to be judgmental, so you can nurture those relationships as vulnerability, which makes you more confident as a person, because it's building confident relationships. These are all a part of being a confident person. It is not only about yourself, but it's also about your relationships with others, which is an extension of yourself. So having a strong support system can provide comfort and encouragement during those tough times. Engaging in that self-care, all right? Participating in activities that bring you joy. Marie Kondo, does it bring you joy? Does it spark joy and relaxation? You know, hobbies, exercise, or even spending time with the people that you know love you can really boost your mood and your overall well-being. You know, I told you guys in the beginning of this that I was like not in the best mood earlier today, and I turned on some country music and I was just having the time of my life. As a creative, your energy is so affected by different things, and it's hard, especially like on a film day, it's so hard to just turn it off and get into work mode, because my work, it directly corresponds with who I am as a person. I'm not really that different than I am sitting here on this screen or you listening to me right now. These are ideas and things that flow from my actual everyday life. I'm not a made up character. You know, I don't have some sort of stage name or something like that. Like, I really am Aisha Christina. Like, that's really it. So anyways, so yes, engaging in those hobbies and spending time with your loved ones and setting those realistic expectations, like I said, and avoid placing excessive pressure on yourself, especially in that specific moment. All right. Not every connection that you make, please remember this, is going to lead to a long-term relationship. I know you have good intentions. I know that you thought that it was going to be this and that, da, 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 but not every single person. That is pressure we have to remove off of ourselves. I know we want to date intentionally. I know that we should be dating intentionally, especially after the age of 25. It should be a very intentional process. And yes, we do step into relationships wanting it to be a forever thing. But as hard as it is to just go with, I don't want to necessarily say go with the flow of something, because I don't like the way that sounds, but putting the pressure of this is the forever when you're just meeting somebody is a bit much. Because think about if the opposite was done to you and you weren't really kind of sure how you felt about that person. Because when you bring intention into the conversation and you bring intention into the room, regardless of what your intentions are, you're going to be very cautiously optimistic about the process. You're not going to just give your every single thing to someone that you just met just because you want to be on the track of having a long-term relationship. Does that make sense? Next, you want to keep a positive mindset. This all feeds into that fear of rejection, because when you cultivate a positive outlook and an optimistic mindset, and you're visualizing your future and your successes, and you believe in your ability to find fulfilling relationships, that's when it's going to gravitate towards you, because you already feel that on the inside of you, and you're exuding this magnetism that makes people, that light that makes people want to be around you. You want to focus on your growth instead of dwelling on the rejection. You want to focus on channeling your energy into personal growth and development. What was this here to teach me? Because like I said, always a lesson or a blessing. You want to practice gratitude. I did that today. I kid you not. I kid you not. That's why I really believe in everything that I wrote down here. Practicing gratitude. And I said to myself, I was so irritated to the highest level of so irritated today. And I was like, you know what? I'm grateful that I was able, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that I was able to, I'm not even going to say it because I don't even know, but whatever. I was able to get, not attend a certain thing today because I really didn't want to do it. It's going to take up what, the next 2 weeks of my life. I'm not doing that. Like, I have other things to do and I am still getting over my cold. And I was able to not have to go. So happy. Yay. And then I was just saying, oh, I'm happy that it's such a sunny day. I'm happy that I'm able to walk up and down my stairs and being able to even feel emotions in general. I'm so grateful. I'm so happy and grateful now that I can take a rest in my room and I just like calling these things out. And I started to feel like literally my spirit was just uplifting just because I was in such a better mood just calling out, because you can't be grateful and feel so sad at the same time, really. Like once you step into that, you know, vibration, or, you know, you start to really lift your spirits up and feel so much more jovial. It really works. I did it today. So you want to also say, stay open to new opportunities. Do not allow rejection to make you jaded. It's very easy. It's easier said than done to allow these experiences to kind of make you jaded and not want to have anything to do with them at all. But there's always going to be new possibilities. That's a part of life. And I think it's important to keep an open mind and heart as you continue to meet new people and you engage in new relationships, because not everyone is the same. You're not the same as, you know, the people that did what they did to you or any of the negative things that you may have experienced in your life. And I also feel like that's how I know God is a true healer, because he sustainably heals you in a way that nothing, no one else ever can, and really gives you that full restoration in your life that nothing else can give you, and true peace that surpasses all understanding. Okay, you want to remember your past successes. Hey, this happened to me, so what? I'm still a confident person in spite of, because look at all the things right now that we thought that we would never overcome that were such a big deal to us before. And here we are alive and well to tell the story. And lastly, if you need to seek professional help, you guys know I always am a huge advocate for this, that if you find that the rejection is significantly impacting your self-confidence or your mental well-being, you should consider seeking support from a therapist or a counselor who specializes in relationships and also personal growth. Yes, this is very much a thing. So I want to conclude by saying this, that by incorporating these coping mechanisms and strategies, that they can really help you navigate rejection with grace, maintaining your confidence, and help you to bounce back even stronger as you continue your journey in personal development, in dating, in relationships. And remember that every experience in your life, including rejection, offers you opportunities for growth and self-discovery. And we are all, after all, students of life. So thank you so much, angels, for listening to me, for watching me. I hope that this came out good. I can't even really see myself in the viewfinder. I don't even know why I bothered looking at it. My camera is literally about to die. But thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. With that being said, I love you and God loves you. I will speak to you, beautiful angels, in my next episode. Mwah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.